If you could think of something this morning that would truly be satisfying to do, that something that would be worthwhile, that when you got done doing what you did, you could say, you know, that was good. That was worthwhile. And as you think through your life, maybe something you could do, maybe something you could experience, something that you would really look forward to doing, what would it be? Now, people in the United States are spending lots of money to try to do something that is satisfying. You know, maybe saving up for a, you know, special vacation. It could be something else. You know, but what is it in your life that if you could think of something to do, you say, boy, that would just, it would be really good if I could do that. Well, here in Psalm number 92, we find something that brings delight to the psalmist. Something that the psalmist says it is good to do. Something that brings joy to his life. But it's only something you can do if you have a relationship with a certain person. You know, there are certain people that you could spend time with, that you would look forward to spending time with them. You know, but if you don't know somebody, you have no idea who they are, you're not going to look forward to spending time with them. And this morning, we're going to look at something here. We're going to look in Psalm number 92. We're not going to get through the whole psalm this morning. But we find something. The psalm starts off with a statement of something that is good, something that brings delight to the psalmist. It says here in verse number 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. You know, one thing we can find from this statement is that there is no lack of things to praise God about. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To the psalmist, it was a good thing. It was a delight. It was something that brought joy to his life. There were plenty of things that he had to bring thanks to the Lord about, and it was a joyful experience. It was a good experience for him. It was something that was satisfying and worthwhile. Giving praise to God, giving thanks to God, is a good thing for us to do. I think of the verse in Proverbs 17 and verse number 22. It says that, you know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, here the psalmist is expressing the joy that it brings into his life, to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. And you think of our society as many people are struggling with depression. Why? Because we have such an inward focus of our lives, such a self-centered focus in our lives, that life becomes about, is all about me. And instead of focusing on what God has done, instead of focusing on who God is, life becomes about me. And when I don't get the next thing that I want, or something happens unexpectedly, and people fall into this state of depression, when if they would follow this psalm, this psalmist's instruction here about praise, it would give such a different outlook on life. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And here it really puts the psalmist in position, shows his attitude of submission to the one that he is praising. And in the center of this psalm, the verse 8, notice the center of this psalm, verse number 8, it says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Really, we see the attitude that a heart of praise flows from. It's in one who is in submission to the God of heaven. You know, as I thought about, you know, as you think back, if some of you may have been at the debate, you know, a man that has no words of praise for God, but is a man that is not in submission to God. And when your heart is not in submission to God, you're going to have a hard time finding things and ways to praise God. So he says, "And to sing praises unto thy name, O most God, O most high." Notice verse number 2. It says, "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." So we find here some of this, the subject of what the substance here of his praise. He says, "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning." You know, what a way to start off your day. By showing forth, declaring the loving kindness of God. And I thought it was good what Barnes in his commentary stated about this. He says, there's no better preparation for a day in view of its burdens, cares, toils, and trials than a thankful, cheerful mind in the morning. He who begins a day with a sour, morose, a murmuring, an irritable spirit, who has been preserved through the night and sees nothing to be thankful for in the morning, will be a miserable man through the day and will make all miserable around him. He who sees nothing to be thankful for in the morning will see nothing to hope for in the day. He who has no gratitude for the past will have no bright anticipations of the future. Now, do you start every morning off by praising God, showing forth his loving kindness? As you think about showing forth his loving kindness, you know, it helps if, obviously, if you have experienced his loving kindness. You know, if you have never experienced God's loving kindness, if you do not know about his loving kindness, then how are you going to show forth that loving kindness if you have no idea what it is? If you've never experienced it in your life. You know, there's the hymn, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," in one stanza, "I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." This is written by somebody who had experienced the loving kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ as he died in our place on Calvary. You know, you think of the song that was just sung, "To think he died for me." You know, think of, you know, Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ." You know, if you're going to show forth the loving kindness of God, you have to experience it. You have to know it. If you don't know it, it's not something you're going to be able to declare. You know, if somebody has you a question and you have no idea what the answer is, how are you going to give the answer? If somebody tells you, you know, "Describe something," and you have no idea what it is, how are you going to tell them about that? You know, if you've never seen a picture of the Grand Canyon, if you've never been to the Grand Canyon and somebody said, "Explain to me the beauty of the Grand Canyon, describe to me the beauty of the Grand Canyon," well, you're never going to be able to describe it because you've never seen it or no one's ever told you about it. And the same thing with the loving kindness of Christ. It's something we must know. It's something we must experience if we're going to properly show it forth. And so this morning, have you experienced the love of Christ? First of all, do you know about it? Do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? That you may not realize it, but that you are a terrible, wretched sinner. A sinner at heart. But Jesus Christ died because you were hopeless. He died in your place. The Father loved you so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sin. You know, if you're a believer this morning and you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, do you wake up in the morning declaring, showing forth the loving kindness of God? You know, over in Psalm number 78, it's interesting here that one of the keys to seeing young people go forward for the Lord is to make sure that they know about what God has done. It says in Psalm number 78, verse number 5, it says, "For he established a..." Well, let me start in verse 4. It says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." You know, you wonder, parents, if we would wake up in the morning showing forth the loving kindness of God, praising him for what he has done, remembering the love of Christ and how much Jesus Christ did on our behalf, what kind of a difference would it make in the lives of our children? You know, what kind of a difference would it make in our coworkers if we came to work with an attitude of cheerfulness because of the loving kindness of God and how much he has done for us? You think of the song of "How Can It Be?" "As at the cross I humbly bow and gaze upon thy thorn-crowned brow." Think of the one part of the song where it says, "Knowing thy suffering was for me in grief, I cry, how can it be?" Do you have a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you? Are you thankful for the love of the Father in sending his Son to die in your place? How do you wake up in the morning? You know, in Matthew 7:11, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Do you recognize the goodness of the Father? You know, do you understand the Spirit's intercession in, you know, Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 and 27? It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know, do you wake up in the morning appreciative that, you know what, we may not be able to fully pray for things as we ought, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what the request is that needs to be made known before the Father. Are we thankful? Do we show forth his loving kindness? Are we thankful for God's mercy and grace in our lives? But it's not only how we start off our day. It says, "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." You know, we get to the end of our day, shouldn't be, "Oh, why did that take place? Why did this happen? Oh, I wish this would have." But to show forth thy faithfulness every night. You know, you think of this song, "Great is thy faithfulness." You know, on the ending of each day should be reflection on the faithfulness of God throughout our day. There is much that we have to be thankful for. There's the substance of praise, his loving kindness, his faithfulness. There's the time of praise, the morning, every night. Then we get to number 3, verse 3. We see here, the instruments of praise, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp, with a solemn sound. But also, we already saw, actually, one of the instruments of praise in verse 1, where it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. We have our mouths involved in the praise, and to sing praises unto thy name. We have our voices involved in praise. So we already saw, actually, there were already instruments of praise declared before verse number 3. Our mouths, our voices. You know, we had opportunity today to praise the name of God. Blessed be the name. Jesus, the very thought of thee. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. Think of the great opportunity that we have to praise him. We have the instrument. Are you using your mouth to praise God? Are you using your voice to praise him? You know, as we come to church many times, it can just become something that we do. But as we sit there and sing, it ought to be something that is coming from a heart of joy, a heart of delight. When we sing these hymns, it shouldn't be something that we have to try to make ourselves do. The psalmist said it's a good thing, it's a delightful thing, it's joy, it's a joyous thing to be able to offer praise to the Lord. Verse number 3, he talks about some different stringed instruments. And you know, learning an instrument can be an opportunity to praise God. You know, learning an instrument is not about merely finding something that we enjoy to do. All right, but playing an instrument is an opportunity to be able to use something to praise God, to show forth his beauty, to show forth his excellence. And you know, that's why it ought to be done in the proper manner. That's why, you know, it says in another psalm to play skillfully with a loud noise. And the instruments that we learn is not just about us bringing attention to us. What is it about? It's about bringing attention to our Creator. And it talks about, it says, upon the harp with a solemn sound. There is a reverence that ought to be characteristic of the music that we praise our God with. A solemn sound. You know, there is much music today that is not about drawing attention to God, but it's about drawing attention to the performer. It's about satisfying the desires of those sitting in the seat rather than seeking to satisfy the desires to please the one that they are praising. You can't praise somebody unless you are accurately describing the one that you're praising. And there's so much music, there's so many quote-unquote worship services, and they're not worshiping God. Because if they were worshiping God, they would have a completely different form of music. You know, we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know, if the truth isn't there, you can't worship God. Verse number 4. Here we find, it says here, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Here we have a prescription for praise. All right, if you're going to praise God, what do you need to do? You need to be able to recognize the work that he has done. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Then he says, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. You know, the song that Paul played for an offertory, and I wrote down some of the words here. One of the stanzas was, victorious now our voices sing the glad triumphant strain. You know, there is a victory. There is a triumphant, there is something triumphant about the song that we sing. And here he says, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. There was going to be, you know, when we sing, there ought to be a great expression of praise. You know, if we're just sitting there kind of mumbling the song out, that's not expressing the triumph. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. This is something great that God has done. You know, yesterday we had Bible quizzing, and, you know, when we, there was a one round, there was, it was down to four teams, and it was a really close quiz to go into the, then whoever won this quiz would be able to go into the, whoever, the quiz that would determine first or second place. And so we were in that quiz, and it came down to the last question. We were 10 points behind, and it was question number 20. Okay, so every a regular question's worth 20 points. So if you get the question, we'd win the game. If we lost the question, we'd lose the game. All right, so somebody, Josh Golginski, in fact, you know, got up really good, and he got the last question. Well, guess what happened when that took place? They were excited. I mean, there was jubilation there in that room because of what took place. There was excitement. You know, and how does that characterize our praise of God? Are we excited about it? Or is it just kind of something ho-hum? You know, if it's something ho-hum, it's because we don't recognize the works of God in our life. Because if we truly recognize what God was doing, we would have something to praise Him about. And the problem is that we don't see what God's doing. And if we would start to see what He is doing, we would have something to praise Him about. It's not that God isn't working, right? It's because we don't see. And the problem is with our eyes. It says in verse number 5, O Lord, how great are Thy works. God's works are great. There's plenty to praise Him about. It says, and Thy thoughts are very deep. Now I think of Romans chapter 11. I'm going to turn there. Romans chapter 11. It says, Thy thoughts are very deep. Romans 11, verse number 33. It says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now it says, verse 34, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Well, no one. God doesn't need a counselor. We're not going to be able to find out His ways. His ways are past finding out. You know, and here the psalmist says that Thy thoughts are very deep. You know, thinking back to the debate, and here's a man thinking that he can figure God out. And if God doesn't fit into the way he thinks, then it can't be possible. Well, God's ways are way past our ways. And with that in mind, there ought to be so much that we have to praise Him about. But what's one of the problems? Well, verse number 6, we see some hindrances to praise. And actually, before we get there, I guess I want to back up a little bit as we think of O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. You know, sometimes in life we need to press the pause button. We need to stop. We need to think about what God has done. You know, have you ever been sitting there, maybe those that are in college, those that are in school, and your mind wanders off, and you maybe wish you could, like, press the pause and rewind button, you know, because your mind got off. Or maybe, you know, you're at work and your boss told you something to do and your brain was just somewhere else. Or maybe you're a boss and you've told somebody else what to do and their brain was somewhere else. You know, sometimes in life, spiritually, we need to press the pause button. We're just going on with our life. We need to stop. We need to stop and we need to meditate. We need to think about what God has done instead of just going on. You know, the psalmist says, thy thoughts, how great are thy works? Do you think that about God? How great are thy works? Do you ever take time, you know, you're walking outside and you just, boy, amazing what God has done. Do you pause to reflect upon your family and what God has done? Do you pause to reflect upon even the establishment of this church and what God has done? Do you pause to reflect on the establishment of the country that we live in? What God has done. But as we move on, verse number 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. So we have some hindrances to praise. Here it says a brutish man. You know, there's the verse in the Bible that talks about natural brute beasts. You know, a brutish man, somebody really almost in a sense operating on the level of animals. Animals, it's all about, you know, just what they can sense right now. They don't have the thinking, so to speak, maybe of a rational being. You know, how do you train a dog to get what you want them to do? You know, you got a treat there. It's all about the here and now. You know, on the farm, when an animal would get out, you know, one of the ways, the tricks we'd use to get them back in, here they're, able to roam everywhere. Well, it's not the best protection for them because then anything could happen. You know, you take a bucket of feed. And you just lead the cow, you know, you give them a little taste of the feed, and then you take a few steps forward, and the cow follows you, and you get one to follow you, the leader, and the rest of them pretty much, you know, follow the leader, and you can hopefully walk them back into the fence, you know. But that was one of the tricks we used to get them back in. You get a bucket, you get some feed in that bucket, get them a taste of that feed, especially if it had some molasses in it, and, you know, you let them get a bite, you take a few steps forward, and they just keep following you. Well, think of, If it was slaughter day for that animal, all right, and there's the person ready to slaughter the animal, and you have a bucket of feed. I mean, you could lead that person. I don't know if we necessarily did it this way, but you could probably, if you wanted to, you could probably lead that cow right to the guy that's going to be slaughtered. Now, if he knew that that's what was going to happen, would he do it? No. But does he know what's going to happen? No, can they, I mean, the guy could be standing there, you know, with the gun, you know, pointing at the animal. And you could take the bucket and lead the animal, you know, right up to it. It's a what? It's a brute beast. It's stupid, so to speak. It doesn't know what's happening. All right? It doesn't know what's happening. And that's what human beings are doing. They're, in a sense, they're acting animal-like. They don't know what's going on. They don't see the works of God. They don't understand it. And as believers, we ought to be able to see it. We ought to be able to have a different perspective on life. It says, so it's all about temporal. I mean, that cow, it's just the bucket of feed. Doesn't really recognize anything else that's going on. Many times in our lives, it's just, if I don't get what I want right now, then it's a terrible day. We don't see the picture. You know, Psalm 23, God's leading us to a green pasture. And there may be something difficult that we have to go through to get to that next pasture. You know, but the sheep would have to what? Follow the shepherd. And how much faith, how much trust do we have in the shepherd that's seeking to lead us? Or are we just like the animal, that there's a few difficult rocks, we'd maybe rather go a different, we only see what's in front of us. God sees the big picture. It says, neither doth a fool understand this. So there's one problem with a temporal outlook. There's one problem, a hindrance to praise, that really is a self-centered. You know, a fool is all about himself. Fool is about himself, and when we're about ourselves, we're not going to understand what God is doing in our lives, and we're not going to have opportunity to praise Him. You know, so what is hindering praise from taking place in your life? You know, if you have a self-centered life, you're not going to have opportunities to praise Him because your life is centered on you rather than on God. So brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. If you're not living a life, if you're not expressing that praise, if you come to church and we find ourselves just kind of singing the song, not really participating in it, you know, what is the Bible saying about who we are? It's not a very good thing, is it? If when we're singing a hymn of praise to God, I have to say this about myself too, if our hearts aren't involved in that, in a sense, at that moment, we're acting like a fool because we are not recognizing the greatness and the goodness of God in our life. You know, if you're a bitter person, that's what? That's foolish. Why? Because you're not seeing God's goodness. You're just seeing that thing right in front of you. God wants you to get past that and see His goodness. So there are some hindrances to praise taking place in our lives. Then verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. You know, there is a seeming prosperity of the wicked. But many times the things that grow up quickly go away as quickly as they came. God is eternal. The wicked, they might flourish momentarily. You know, and the psalmist in Psalm number 3 got his eyes off of God, was beginning to doubt God because he saw the prosperity of the wicked, but then he understood that their desolation can happen in a moment. And you know, you might be wandering away from God today. You may have gotten on the wrong pathway, and there may be some moments where it might seem like things are going okay, but what you don't recognize is that everything can come down, boom, just like that. And you might reach the cliff, so to speak. And it may have taken time to reach the cliff, but falling off the cliff happens just like that. And we need to make sure we keep the right perspective on life. Don't look at the momentary prosperity of the wicked. Because as quickly as they rise, they can fall even faster. But notice verse 8, we are reminded of the eternality of God. It says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. God's in control. He is worthy of our praise. You know, what are people bombarded with today? You know, you have the morning news. You probably, I don't know, you probably have, I don't know if maybe they have news every hour on the TV. But, you know, you got your morning news, you got your lunch news, you got your evening news, you have your 10 o'clock news, you have your 9 o'clock news. You know, you could wake up, you know, some people, I suppose, maybe wake up, turn on the news. I suppose some people go to bed, maybe watching the news. And, you know, how much about God do you find on the news? Probably not much. I guess I haven't really watched the news much to know what they talk about lately. But, you know, probably not much. Okay, I mean, if you turn on the radio and you listen to the news, they're not talking about God too much, on whether it's the radio or TV or whatever. I mean, I have heard the radio news more. You know, here and there you might get some television news or something. But you think of people, you know, some people, that's maybe what they do every night. You know, and I know if I'm not careful, it can be, you know, finding out what's going on, you know, getting all these things, you know, you want to see the news. All right. So, but, you know, so I can't say I've never been to the place where I've, you know, seen news, but it can be a habit for people. It can be just boy, go to bed seeing the news. Wake up seeing the news. Or maybe they don't go to bed and get up, but one or the other. And, you know, what are we to do? Life is to be about recognizing God's working. Not this man-centered view of life. You know, if we're constantly not that we should know what's going on in life, but if all we're getting is man's perspective on life, we're not going to be able to find probably as many ways to really praise God. And the Bible here says that we need to be showing forth His loving kindness in the morning. We need to be declaring His faithfulness at night. You know, what's taking place in your life? Do you have this attitude of praise? Do you have more than this attitude of praise? Do you have this life of praise? Have you submitted yourself to God, first of all, in salvation, recognizing what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary and coming to Him for salvation? You know, and if you have, if you're a believer this morning, do you have this life of praise? Have you submitted yourself to God's working in your life? Do you pause to reflect upon what God has done in your life? Do you have a positive attitude as you wake up in the morning? You know, do you offer praise to God? Is your family have times of praise to offer the Lord? You know, if we're not careful, we can allow praise just to be something we do at church. While this was a psalm or song for the Sabbath day, we can see that the psalmist praising God was not just something he did on the Sabbath day, but it was something that he did throughout his life. And if we're going to properly praise God when we come to worship Him in the assembly of the righteous, it's something that we need to be doing throughout the week. Otherwise, when we get to this place, we're going to have a much harder time as a body praising God like we ought. How much we have to praise our God for. Think of, there's a song in our hymnal, praise ye the triune God, praise ye the Father for His loving kindness. Tenderly careth He for His erring children. It talks about praising the Son, it talks about praising the Spirit. How much does praise and thanksgiving characterize your life? You know, when it does it, there's grave consequence. When it doesn't, there's grave consequence. I like to close by looking at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse beginning in verse number 20, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Notice the aspects of praise there. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And notice the result, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. Remember what the psalm that we looked at talked about? Fools. About the brutish man. You know, we need to take the opportunity that we have, while we have it, to praise God and to be thankful. Because if we don't have thoughts of thanksgiving and praise to God filling our minds, guess what? Other thoughts will occupy our minds. And our minds will become darkened. You know, if the right thoughts aren't filling our minds, the wrong thoughts will. And it's so important to have a heart, to have a mind of praise and thanksgiving towards God. You know, one way we're going to see that loving kindness, opening up our Bibles, it declares it. If you're not in God's Word, you're not going to see it. We need to pause and reflect on what God has done for us. I wonder this morning, do you have that life of praise? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you have been to us. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to properly reflect upon your goodness in our lives. Lord, if your people are not praising you, we can't expect it from the unsaved. We can't expect it from those who do not know you. And Lord, for each one this morning that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, may today be a day of renewal of this very important part of our lives, of praise and thanksgiving. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, first of all, I'd like to ask, do you know the God of heaven? Have you accepted the salvation that He is offering you through the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you don't know His goodness, and you're not going to be able to properly praise Him. You're going to have a hard time singing these hymns because you haven't experienced His love in a personal way. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I wonder, is there anyone that would say, you know, Pastor John, God is tugging at my heart about my need to make Jesus my Savior. Is there anyone like that this morning? The Lord's working in your life about experiencing, first of all, God's goodness in your life in salvation so that you can properly praise Him. Anyone like that this morning? Don't know for sure if you've experienced that in your life. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're a believer this morning. You know, what characterizes your morning? Is there praise? Is there thanksgiving? What characterizes your thoughts before you go to bed at night? Is it praise? Is it thanksgiving? Is it a reflection upon God's faithfulness to you throughout that day? I'm going to say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord's speaking to my heart about starting and ending my day in a way that would be glorifying to God. Anyone like that this morning? The Lord's spoken to your heart in that way. All right, is there anyone else this morning? I wonder, you know, maybe in your life you need to stop. You need to take some time to pause and meditate upon God's works. You know, maybe it's when you come to church, you know, does your voice, is it characterized by that triumph, victory? I mean, you're singing out these hymns because of the great work that God has done in your life. You know, but you don't just come to church, so to speak, and do it. I mean, there's a working of God, a preparatory work that takes place in our lives, that enables us to come and praise Him that way. And that's what we need to see in our lives this morning. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would help us to properly render the thanksgiving and praise that is due to your name. Lord, may we leave this place today with joyful hearts, reflecting on how good you have been to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.